Last week we talked about ask out of Matthew 7:7. This week we're going to talk about seek. We ask God, and it says, it will be given unto us. When we ask according to his word, not according to our whatever things that we may want. According to his word. When we ask according to his word, he'll give it to us. Let's open up a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And I just believe what you have to say through me will come out with clarity, Lord, and with power. Father God, and we just thank you for the yoke being destroyed in this life. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 7:7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, compared to God, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And the other flip side of that, Luke 11:9, I don't have that scripture up there, but you can see the other one. It says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? A lot of people might be, I don't know about the Holy Spirit. I don't know about that. But the Holy Spirit is the third person. He's the comforter. He's your advocate. And if people are afraid of the Holy Spirit, then what kind of relationship does it have with God? He's just like Jesus. I said, so there are a few ways that you could use this word seek. You know, some people may seek advice from leaders and friends and family. Some will try to seek fame and fortune. You know, that's never good going after that stuff. Then there are businesses who are seeking someone with who's dependable and trustworthy and is willing to work 20, 30 hours a week. You can rarely find those. No, sorry. Then you have your dating websites. There are some that are seeking companionship with others. And they enjoy long walks in the park. There was a time. Seek also means to seek worship with God. And there's other verses in the Bible that talks about seek. We're going to read about it in Jeremiah. What talks about to search for. But there was a time when I had lost my wallet. I had shared this with a few people. But a couple of days before, I had lost my credit card, my bank card. And it was in my pocket. I had paid and I just put it in my pocket and it ended up getting washed and I couldn't find it in my wallet. So I had to cancel that card and get a new one. And then a few days later, I ended up losing my wallet. I was like, I don't want to have to go through this whole process again. So I used that whole day to try to retrace my steps and look and just search for my wallet. I couldn't find it nowhere. I mean, anywhere. Looked all over the place. My car, my wife's car, bathrooms, everywhere. And so it was about 3:00 in the morning. I still haven't gone to bed and I wasn't going to go to bed until I found it. And I just laid on the pillow and I said, Lord, forgive me. I should have came to you first, but I didn't. But I need help finding my wallet. And within a minute, he showed me where it was. I got up, came out to the church, right there where he saw. I was like, I wasted a whole day seeking for something when I should have just went to him first. You realize how much time can be saved if you just go to God first rather than try to do it on your own? You do it on your own, you're going to mess it up. I guarantee it. No matter how much skill you have, it's like, look, he can save you time. He can save you money. He can save you heartache if you just go to him. So now we know, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Seek and you will find him. See, being in the presence of God is one of the most satisfying things that we can do as His children, because He created us for that specific purpose. See, after He did everything in the garden, then He created man for fellowship. Jeremiah 29:11, we love to quote that. If you got turn over there, it's in the Old Testament. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." See, this was God's promise to His people. And in the midst of a hopeless situation, well, God caused them to be captive. I said, listen, they were always disobedient. I don't know how many times you can give somebody so many warnings. You look throughout the Old Testament, He gave them a lot of warnings and they still wouldn't listen. The place that they were living was in an ungodly culture like we're living in today. And He's speaking through the prophet to let them know, this is what I have for you. These are my thoughts towards you. You might be thinking, God's forgotten about me. Have you ever gotten there before? I mean, can I be real? You ever gotten there before? Like, God don't care about my situation. He don't care about, I just lost my job. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't have any companionship to enjoy long walks with. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the Lord. God knows. I'm not worried about what so-and-so is over here saying. I'm not worried about that person over there saying. The moment you stop worrying about people's opinions about you is the day you start living. It's what He says about you. Your little circle that you have, let them speak life into you. If they're not building you up and keeping it real with you, I'm not saying tear down and everything every which way and that's all they ever do. That's just being negative. And I don't like being around negative people. I need somebody who's going to build me up and also challenge me. So stop listening to those people. You worried about what they're saying? Who doesn't matter. What matters is what He's spoken over you. Those who caused yesterday's heartache does not control tomorrow's possibilities. You do. They don't control tomorrow's potential. They don't control tomorrow's outcome. You control that. So no need to get all bent out of shape because of what they said. That's how important they are in your life. You call them so-and-so. You can pray for them from a distance. You know, one of the things that I've learned, just a little trail, when it comes to things that I hear, I working with people, you work with different people out in the community and stuff, and I would hear a whole bunch of stuff about people that I've never even met before. And then, so I'm going in with that, but most of the time, you know what I do? I just put that way in the back. Because I know everyone is wanting a clean slate with new people. So, but they start acting like what so-and-so said, then I say, I see that. I'm giving you an opportunity to be real, to be truthful, to be honest, what have you, but if you're a liar, don't get upset when I stop believing your lies. Liars don't like that when you stop believing their lies, because all they want to do is just take you on a wild goose chase. And if you don't go along with it, well, then they're going to be upset with you. You can be upset all day long. But if I ever hear something when two people are talking and engaging in conversation, what have you, and a fight breaks out, what have you, you're going to have two people there. You're going to have a mature person in that conversation, and you're going to have an immature person. The mature person is where we want to be. The spiritual growth one. This is the one. I say, they go home. They can agree to disagree. They go home, maybe talk it over with their spouse, maybe a close friend. Pray for the person. Move on. The immature one will be the first one to want to get their story out first to everyone else. They want to tell everyone. You know, the Bible does say in Proverbs 18:17 that the first one to plead their cause always seems right until their neighbor cross-examines them. So immature people want to get their story out first because they know people will jump all over that. So when I hear that, I just pray about it. The Lord really puts it on my heart. I'll actually go talk to the other person and find out. There's no manipulation there. I give them an honest opportunity to tell me. If they don't want to tell me, I leave it alone. It ain't going to ruin my day. Bless you. So no need to get those who caused yesterday's heartache does not control tomorrow's possibilities. You do. The Bible tells us to pray for those who what? Persecute you. There's your stance. There's your growth. Spiritual growth right there. You want to grow every single day. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who try to get you in trouble all the time. Pray for the, even though it's hard. It is hard. I'm telling you, it is so difficult because really my flesh just want to knock somebody out and kick their teeth in. I'm just being honest. But you see, ain't nobody got the, everyone's got their teeth. So it's, I haven't done that. I have not done that because I'm growing. You do what you're called to do and let God handle the rest. See, you have to refuse to poison your future with the pain of yesterday's past. And if it's in the past, the pain that you have been through, you forgive, you grow, you pray for them, you learn your lesson, and you keep it from running your lives. There's a lot of people that cannot move past their past. I mean, they're holding something since third grade. Let it go. It's not that serious. I'm telling you, God has something so much more for you. You got to let that go. Because it's very difficult to walk backwards into your future. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That thoughts of peace is thoughts to be safe in mind, body, and estate, to be completed, to be healthy, to be well, prosperous, to be happy. Those are God's thoughts towards Jeremiah at the time and his people. We are his people too. That hasn't changed. Didn't Jesus say it's a thief that comes to do what? But he's come to do what? Give us life and then give it to us more abundantly. That's part of his plan. Are you going to have trouble in this world? Yeah. But he tells us not to fear. See, you have two kingdoms working there. The world is going to cause trouble. You rolling with Jesus, he tells us not to fear, for he's overcome the world. He never said, intertwine the two. I don't know if you've seen those commercials when Venus Williams, Matrix, and then it just intertwines into each other. And it's the next thing you know, she's playing against like seven people on there. It's like Matrix. I said, but the thing is that we don't intertwine that. He didn't say go out and cause trouble. Jesus never said go out and cause trouble in people's lives. We're blessed to be a. Come on, somebody. Why are you going to spend your day trying to plot and plan to try to come against other people and cause trouble in their life when you're supposed to be a blessing to them? You realize that all your works are going to be tried by fire? It's going to have to hold up. And with some people, you're going to have to stand back and say, whoo, now that's a fire. Because it's just burning up. because of the wrong motives behind it. Let your works be good. Don't grow weary in doing good. Every single day you make it a point, I'm going to do God's will, not mine. You may miss it, but that's okay. It's where your heart was. He says, you will reap what you sow. For God will not be mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will what? Reap. That's a spiritual law. You can't get around that. A harvest can never be denied, but it can be delayed. That's a spiritual law. So if you go around doing good and impacting people's lives, you're doing that for the kingdom, not for your selfish reasons. There used to be people that come up to me, like earlier on when I just going to church and stuff, and how many people you get saved today? I don't know. I'm not keeping count. They keeping count. I ain't worried about that. Why? Because I don't want it to be something that I brag about. How many people you help today? Don't care. I just want to do God's will. I have my friend, John Coates, good young man. He would call me up sometimes during the transition was going on, and he was, man, how's the transition? I said, dude, man, cause he would just wanted to help because he already had been through it and stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm out of God's will for so long. I've been out of God's will for so long in my life. I'm finally in it. I'm not trying to rush nothing. I just want to do his will, period. And if it was just sweeping the floors, then I sweep the floors. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, not of evil, not of affliction, calamity, displeasure, grief, harm, sorrow, trouble, or wickedness. I don't know about you, but I like what God has to offer better than what the world has to offer. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. He says, you will search for me and find me. You will search for me. Be honest with yourself. How often do I really seek after God? Do I give him my undivided attention? Well, I come to church on Sundays. Is that enough? No, not really. What about Wednesday nights? I come Wednesday nights here. Wednesday night is not enough either. You know, I listen to church music all the time. Do they have like Christian Western stuff? They do? Really? I know I listen to hip hop and rap, you know, this, you know, Christian. But some good stuff out there. Last time I listened to podcasts, and I said, seek God with all your heart. There's times when I get to praying, and then my brain is just like going, I'm just thinking about stuff, and I got to shut it down. You know the way I do to shut it down? I begin praying in the spirit, because your mind becomes unfruitful at that time. Now, when it's shut down, I begin praying, and then you pray along with the word of God. Because you don't want to get too weird. You shut it down. Your spirit prays. You can spend hours doing that. All attention to him. Power off your phone. Tape the kids up. If God does not have our hearts in worship and in prayer, we won't see any difference in our lives 6 months from now. And see, people can fool you sometimes, but it's kind of like that thing. It's a, being a coach, I know when players would tell me, coach, I've been playing all summer. I said, really? You've been in the gym all summer playing. Yeah, I've been working on my game. I said, same old thing. They just clanking stuff off the, no touch, bricking stuff, can't dribble. You haven't been, who you been playing with? Well, that explains it. Because when you're putting in the work, you'll see the results. Can't y'all tell I've been slimming down? No, I'm sorry. Don't answer that. I picked the hardest way to lose 50 pounds and then gain some of it back. But when he has our hearts in our daily walk with him, he's ready to help turn our situation around. He's there to listen. He's there to reveal himself. He has your answer that you need. But are you willing to put in the time? It doesn't have to be like that awkward conversation that you may have with people that you barely ever talk to. You know, I don't know if you have those. Being an introvert, you have a lot of those. A lot of times that happens. But if you're just an outgoing person, you don't have that. But I'm just saying, when you get in the presence of God, well, hey, where you been? It's like you pick up where you just left off, like, you know, 4 hours ago. It just never stops. So when we search for him with all our hearts, I ask you, where is your attention at right now? What has your attention more right now than anything else? If God is in top priority in our lives, in that prayer time, what's in place of that? And if there's something else in place of that, I hope it's not revenge. I hope it's not pornography. I hope it's not gossip. I hope it's not slander. I hope it's not anything other than God. Because it will get your life out of whack. That's for sure. So what is keeping you from seeking him with all your heart? Is it that man or woman you're trying to chase? Lord, I need companionship. Five weeks is probably the longest I've ever been without being with Chris. And I've been gone a couple of weeks here and there. When my brother got in trouble, I think I went out to California for about 2 weeks. And my dad had passed away. I went out there for about 2 weeks and stuff. I said, but 5 weeks was, that was way too long. Way too long. So even though she was still there, we were still married, I was alone. I don't know what it's like for people to be alone when you don't have anyone there. But I'm letting you know that God has an answer for you. You dedicate your time to him. When we honor God with our time, he will honor us with his voice. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He put that there for a reason. But you have to delight yourself. You have to become pliable. Start worrying about people who do evil and have everything that you may need. Well, they're in a relationship. They're doing this. They're doing. You just become pliable to what he wants you to do, because your cause may be different. There may be something else that he's trying to get out before he can put in. So when we honor God with our time, he will honor us with his voice. You will find him when you search for him with all your heart. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewards those who diligently search him out. My kids, they go to mom all the time for stuff. Dad doesn't buy them anything. Ain't that right? Pretty much. Growing up, Kristen would buy everything for them. And I'm like, they don't need anything else. They're good. But they know that mom gives the best gifts. Mom will say yes. Dad will say no. Mom say no sometimes. But Dad will say no all the time. Go get a job or something. Dad, I'm six. But moms will be hooking them up. Get shoes, $200 shoes. They got 8 pairs of shoes in their closet already. They don't need any more. They're good. Growing up, we had 4 pairs, maybe 3, 4. And one of them was a hand-me-down, of course. You have 5 brothers. But you had church shoes. Young people, you know what church shoes is? When I talk about church shoes, church shoes is something that you don't go outside in and play. You can't run in church shoes because you'd be sliding all around. It's just they're church shoes. And then what we would get for Christmas, they would get athletic socks and stuff, Nike, Jordan. We get brown and black socks to wear to church. Man. And then you have your play shoes, and then you have your school shoes, and then if you played a sport, you had another pair of shoes. And that was throughout the whole time. Now, I know the older generation probably had less. But see, God is a rewarder. He rewards those who will search him out. That's a promise. That's a good promise. Matthew 6:6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There it is again. God will reward you for spending time with him. And it's not because you're spending time with him to be rewarded. You're spending time with him to get to know him. It's good to know your Father. It's good to know that he loves you and he wants to do what's right for you. That he's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's here to set the captives free. Whatever you're bound up in, he wants that gone out of your life. Pastor Tim, I tried all that and it still didn't work. Where's God at? Like when people tell me that we just don't have enough to tithe. I know where God's at. He's on the bottom. You're giving him leftovers. Not even that. Because you're not even giving. When you put him first, he'll make room for everything else. You're trying to pay all your bills, do all this, go grocery shopping, trying to go clubbing and all sorts of stuff. And then you're trying to give to God. God's last in your life. When you put him first, you'll always have enough. Romans 3:3-4 says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man be a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. God's faithfulness is not overcome by our faithlessness. Seek and you will find him. That's a promise in prayer, and you will seek him. You will find him. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all the promises of God in him are yes and in him. Amen. So be it. To the glory of God through us. The Amplified Version says this. For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him, Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen. So be it to God. All of his answers are yes. So why do we worry? Sometimes I believe we act like he doesn't have enough. Well, God, he helped me out yesterday, but I don't know if he'll do it today. I don't know if he can do it again. There's not enough power. It's all used up. So I got to do it on my own. He has enough. More than enough. God is not telling you one thing and he's going to do something totally different. If he said he'll deliver you, he'll deliver you. If he said he'll heal you, he'll heal you. His word says by his stripes we were healed. Well, God doesn't heal everyone. Everyone doesn't get healed. But he's made provision for everyone to be healed. But I tried that. Wait a minute. Listen, I've shared with people Wednesday night. If I wasn't here today, in my last words, it would be, God's still a healer. That's never changed. It was something on my part that I messed up. I'm not going to blame him. Sometimes we put so much focus on the experience rather than what the word says. I'm going to go back to the word every single time. Everyone has a different experience. Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Matthew chapters 5 to 7. And some believe it would take around 20 minutes. If you were to read it out, it'd take about 20 minutes. Unless you're a stutterer or something, it might take a little longer. That's okay. Moses was a stutterer. You slow it down, you memorize it, it'll be 23, 25 minutes or so. But after that, he began healing. In Matthew 8, 1 through 3, Jesus cleansed a leper. He says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and says, I am willing. I think you probably heard Brother Hagin talk about that. Every single time you read that, you will see it says, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Skip on down to verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered to Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. 20-minute message. Verse 14, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying with the fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. You probably heard years ago. But that was the main reason why Peter denied Jesus, healed his mother-in-law. No, that wasn't it, Peter. Come on. I use that joke before. That's funny every single time I say it. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. 20-minute message on a mount. And then he goes and does all these things just in that chapter. And of course, he's done many, many more. I think sometimes we need less illustration and more demonstration. Not to say that illustration ain't good, because it could be powerful. I've seen some of them. My goodness, it's really good, but you need more demonstration. I don't need to see somebody. I'm not going to go there. I will not go there. Acting on the word brings life. We're not just hearers of the word, we're doers. If you just focus on one thing to do on that word and do it to the place to where you get it, I mean, it becomes second nature to you. Y'all know a young man by the name of Kobe Bryant. He had passed away a couple years ago. But he was helping someone. Basically, he was, working out a player. I think it was Kawhi Leonard or something like that. But he just had Kawhi do that one move over and over and over and over until it just became second nature, that little turnaround jump shot. Fade away. Of course, you want to work on 5, 6, 7 other things. No. Just get this right here. If there's something in your life right now that is just bugging you right here, that you just can't get over, focus on what the Word of God says and do it. At least you start. But you can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again and then saying, I don't understand it. God, why is this happening to me? You reap what you... It opens up the door. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. But I don't have any friends. Make yourself a friend. Start with Jesus. As churchy as that sounds, start with Jesus. He's a friend like no other. And I guarantee you, he'll start showing you things when you spend time with him. People are going to think you're weird. That's okay. They already think you're weird. Might as well go with the flow. But see, what they don't see is that change happening on the inside of you. It happens inside first, and then they'll see it outwardly. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's the provider. I want to challenge y'all today. And God may already be there for everyone here. But what's keeping us from going to that next level in your own personal lives? Just ask him. Don't ask people. I like how Paul had said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood when it came to preaching his gospel. Don't ask people. Ask him, because he knows. This next week, just wipe out some time, whatever you do. I mean, if it's TV, cut out TV, whatever the Lord tells you. And just go after him and see what he says. I like to hear it. I like our Wednesday nights because I get to hear what y'all have to say, what God is doing through you. Sometimes you got to kind of tackle Randy or something to keep him from talking. Little rabbit punch. No, sorry. I love you, man. You all right with me no matter what Anita says about you? Y'all stand to your feet, Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we just believe that when we ask, we seek, we will find you. You're not hiding from us, but you want us there to be with you so that you can show us those things that are to come. Tell us those things. We thank you for the authority that we have in you, Jesus. that ain't just for me. That's for everyone here to walk in the authority that you've given them. Father, I believe that you will begin to start turning some situations around when they seek you. Because you will reward them. That's in your word. You will reward them. We thank you. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.